For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Like, exactly like him. Just, people seem to think he's a very handsome guy. And he did very well.
Wasn't Kingsbury with Holly Saunders?
He was. She's lost her mind, by the way.
Yeah, she went. She was like a golf reporter, and then now she's...
Now she's an Instagram model. She might be on OnlyFans with Lev. Which, by the way, Lev's coming back for another Steelers tailgate.
He is?
Yeah, he's going to be
AB
there.
Another AB joint tailgate?
Yeah, and Trump is coming to town for this game, too.
Yeah, tonight's got quite a... This Sunday's got quite a bit of, like, mess potential. Doesn't Trump have to show up at the AB Bell tailgate?
I think security is got to be a factor in that, no? You'd think.
He just tosses the old pigskin around with those two?
That would be hilarious. You just see? I've never...
Le'Veon, go long. Run a wheel route.
Donnie, did you make it to the AB Le'Veon Bell tailgate in Vegas?
I was there.
You were?
Yeah.
Did you get anything signed?
No. I did get a picture with AB, though, which was pretty funny.
When's
Smeltzer,
that going to become?
Smeltzer got a picture with Lev Bell.
This goes back to what I said to you. I don't remember if I said this on the air or off the air. That 5 years ago, Steelers fans universally thought Antonio Brown was the scum of the earth and persona non grata. And now Steelers fans are going out of their way to get pictures with him.
Time heals all wounds.
And begging him to sign t-shirts that say cracker of the day.
Time heals all wounds. CTESPN has really helped him. I'll just say, the one thing that makes me nervous about that is I do think like people like Mina Kimes and a lot of her brethren at ESPN, I know Mina watches a ton of film. I've read long features about her rise because it's so unusual in the business given her background.
Yep.
All of those people unite to say one thing. You can look at Russ's stats from last year and maybe if you're box score watching, draw the conclusion that he was a good quarterback.
Oh my God, listen to what Mark Larith has said about him after watching all those games in Denver.
But then the people who say if you actually watched those games, you have a vastly different picture getting painted for you. So here, the reason I bring that up is if Belichick thinks that the Steelers might feel they have a good quarterback in Fields and a great one in Wilson.
He said that weeks ago, by the way.
Okay, but I'm just saying the idea that anyone at this juncture, including me, the guy who thought Wilson should start at the start of the season, the idea that you think he's a great quarterback is a farce.
Okay, so one more thing, and we'll get back to calls here.
Mm-hmm.
The Davante Adams trade happens. The Cooper trade happens. Jeremy Fowler used to cover the Steelers and is being groomed to replace Adam Schefter at ESPN. In a notes column today said, the Steelers are the next team to trade for a wide receiver. The market exploded yesterday. Two biggest names were traded. Steelers are, you know, they were in the on-deck circle to trade for a wide receiver. Now there's this today, this rumor started by CBS Sports linking the Steelers to Adam Thielen. It's widely believed that Thielen is going to get traded before the deadline, that he's going to get dealt out of a horrible situation in Carolina because he's old and doesn't factor into their long-term plans. Would you feel like Adam Thielen would solve their wide receiver two problem?
He's solve it. I don't know what you even mean by solve it.
Is he a good second wide receiver? Does he
still could be? Yes.
Yes. Okay.
He had 103 catches last year. I know he had turned into like a later career Hines Ward under 10 yards a catch, but the years before that,
yep.
Last 3 years in Minnesota, I know is a little skewed. 14 touchdowns, 10 touchdowns, 6 touchdowns. That's 30 touchdowns in 3 seasons.
I mean, he is the Methuselah of NFL wide receivers. He's very old right now.
I know. He got a late start. He didn't start playing really till he was 24, so he was an old NFL rookie. But the guy, I think, still can catch the ball, can run crisp routes, has a big catch radius because he's a pretty rangy dude.
Been hurt this year, only has 8 catches.
But is it a, well, it's an actual hurt, not a, Davante Adams actually healthy,
yes,
know, type of situation.
Which we were speculating on, that it was not really a hamstring injury. He was just trying to get the hell out of Vegas. And lo and behold, that was
him,
right.
Yes. Yep. I would trade him. What was it? Underdog, Davante Adams, suddenly healthy, full participant.
Sixth round pick.
Yes. Yes. Because he's better than what they have. That has been like the low bar, but the steady bar by which we evaluate these hypotheticals. If he's healthy, he's better than what they have. And what are you getting out of a sixth round pick? Okay, maybe somebody.
Donnie, if the Steelers traded for Adam Thielen, would that be a celebratory thing? Would you be like, yes, let's go? Would it even raise an eyebrow? Would it even make you get up out of your chair and clap? What would your reaction be?
I mean, for that price, yeah. I mean, absolutely a move that I would be happy about, because it is a low-risk type move for a guy that last season, Chris mentioned the receptions, he had 1,000 yards last year. And even though he is in the mid-30s.
On a dog-crap team, I will remind everybody. I mean, with a dog-crap quarterback.
He is an old player by NFL standards, no doubt about that. But I don't think he's just better than what they have. I think he's much better than what they already have. I mean, and I'm saying that, of course, is the number two guys behind George Pickens. And I think it would be pretty nice. We say all the time, maybe they should get more of an adult in that room, and they kind of traded away the only veteran that they had because Mike Tomlin wasn't a fan of him. I mean, I feel like this guy would be a prime example for something like that,
I'm going to say something that I think is going to blow your doors off. I don't see any reason to think he's worse than Deontay Johnson when he's healthy.
Deontay gets open quicker still, like much quicker.
But the numbers don't even back that up. We just talked about how he was on a horrible team. Every reason to make excuses for bad stats, that he still had great stats. I mean, go year by year. I know he's older than Deontay, but what hard evidence do we have to say that Deontay Johnson's a better wide receiver than Adam Thielen? I think that actually, that is a trade that Omar Khan has gotten crucified for, which I don't really think is fair, by the way, because if you don't make that trade, what are you doing at corner? And Jackson's got 3 interceptions. So the sin there is, once you make the trade, not getting another wide receiver. But I don't think the trade itself is bad. How could anybody say that the trade itself
does become bad because of what didn't follow it? You can't, I mean, you have to acknowledge what followed it. Jackson's been pretty good. Jackson's also was one of the missed tackle gang against Indianapolis.
So if Jackson leads the league in interceptions this year and they don't get a second wide receiver, it's still a bad trade? The trade has to be evaluated in a vacuum.
If Jackson leads the league in interceptions this year and they don't get a second wide receiver, how many playoff games do you think they're going to win?
I mean, how many playoff games do you think they would have won if they never made the trade and just kept Deontay Johnson?
I know they wouldn't have a wide receiver two problem right now, mainly because Pickens would be wide receiver two, because ultimately Johnson was still probably wide receiver one. Johnson, by the way, had...
Then they have a cornerback problem.
Johnson, by the way, last year, I think here's the case for why he was a better player. Horrible offense last year in Pittsburgh. He was targeted 50 fewer times than Thielen and had about 300 yards less receiving. So he was averaging 5 more yards per catch than Adam Thielen. Like, he was definitely a more explosive player than Adam Thielen was last year. There's no arguing.
Okay, but one guy's way more reliable than him and way more consistent than him, Chris.
Thielen?
Yes.
He had a much higher catch percentage, obviously, but... And I'm going to tell you, yes, Deontay Johnson has dropped the ball at times, but I think if you asked 32 general managers who is a better receiver in a vacuum, very few, if any, would say at this point Adam Thielen.
412-928-9370. Here's Callie on the fan. Hello, Callie.
Hello.
Hey,
I think the Deontay Johnson trade was a great trade. Just saying, those 3 interceptions, they matter. And why not see what Russell Wilson has to offer? It's not like Justin Fields is doing something so amazing that if you take it apart, it's ruining anything.
What do you mean in not ruining anything? They've won 4 games with him in there.
They did win 4 games with him, but the way that those games are won, like Mike Tomlin said, it's not good enough. It's not convincing enough.
What the hell does Russell Wilson have to do then? If Russell Wilson averages 150 yards per game, but they go on a 5-game winning streak, should he get benched?
Probably, but I just feel like it's it's not a bad thing to look at. What if he does unlock talent in these other wide receivers? Because right now, all we have to look at is Justin Fields.
Well, then you agree. Well, then basically, you agree with what I said earlier, that there's that Justin Fields just cannot be a good starting quarterback in the NFL if you're benching him now. You've given up on him. You don't think he can
get it done. I don't agree with that, and I don't even use the same words, because to be benched, you have to have been the starting quarterback, and he hasn't been the starting quarterback. He's
what do you mean? He started six games.
In name on their depth chart. That's what goes back to what I said.
Yeah, the name on the depth chart. He hasn't been ruled.
They've taken pains to never say explicitly he is our starting quarterback long-term.
That's just a semantical argument,
though. No, it's not, though.
Yes, it is.
That we have had discussions about, are they going to name him their starting quarterback? They have to name him their quarterback or not, because they hadn't done it yet. It's not just semantics. It's done, obviously, for a very specific reason. If you treat a guy like he's just the backup filling in, you make this Russell Wilson move without any kind of major fanfare other than your fans being annoyed.
So then Matt Murray, when he was leading the Penguins to playoff wins, because the depth chart didn't have him number one, when a switch I don't think they printed out a depth chart.
I think the guy they were using in the playoffs to start playoff hockey games, it was pretty obvious, was the starting goaltender.
Okay, well, there's only 17 regular season games. They mean a lot, okay? They might not mean as much as a playoff game in a best of seven, but they're pretty darn close. So,
it sounds like their options were Kyle Allen or Justin Fields for most of that, if not, five of those six games? Yeah, because Russell Wilson was inactive.
So then just to make sure I'm hearing you right then in our last caller, Justin Fields going to the bench is not at all a reflection of the way he's played.
The way that they have tried to treat the situation, they would want you to believe he was never the starting
quarterback. But you defeated that argument yesterday by saying if he was 6-0, he would stay in. You said that yesterday.
Yeah, I think they would just feel like even though he's our backup, 6-0 is different than 4-2. That's honestly
At 6-0, Tomlin would have came in and said, "Guys, I'm holding up the new depth chart. Is switched. Fields is one, and Wilson is two."
I think
he
would have just done one more vague. You know, we're going to let Russ get one more week up to speed. But I think
I'm getting back to this. They don't know what the hell they're doing with their quarterbacks.
Oh, welcome to the party, pal.
Seriously. Seriously, if that's like, if all of this is built on or arguments are built on a depth chart, something that's not even real.
They very clearly, because so much about Russell Wilson is PR related, very clearly took pains to make sure that in the eyes of the public, in things that are readily publicly available, whether Tomlin says they matter or not, they took great pains to make it clear that Fields was just the backup who was currently starting because of an injury.
Well, then I don't even need the depth chart to make this point then. If they think that Russell Wilson right now, coming off a calf injury and he's barely played and he's rusty, is better than Justin Fields, then with or without a depth chart, that tells me they don't think Justin Fields is that good. They don't.
Or else they
would keep him in.
Except if the head coach had always thought that even with Rust to knock off, the other guy, the Super Bowl winner, the guy with a long back of the baseball.
And that tells me that Fields literally could have done nothing really in six games. That gets back to what Kabali actually was right about.
Other than play like an MVP, I'm starting to think that that's pretty
good. Well, then that's horse bleep. I want to say another word. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Man. Time to go all access with Aditi Kinkabwala, brought to you by Bet365. She's watched Joe Flacco come back to life in the last 3 weeks working Colts games. So she's been almost their de facto sideline reporter lately. And we're talking quarterbacks here with Russell Wilson, another guy in his mid to late 30s, about to get an opportunity. Confirmed at practice, he received first-team snaps. Aditi Kinkabwala brought to you by Bet365. What is your reaction to Russell Wilson being the first-team guy?
We talked about this last week, didn't we? Didn't I say last week that Mike Tomlin had promised him the job when he signed him, that it was reasonable to expect that he would give him the chance to get out there and play, but I appreciate what Mike Tomlin said on the record, that the offense has been good, if not great, but I can certainly tell you there are people inside that building that feel Justin Fields has done what has been asked of him, that he has gotten better every week, and that they would love to keep seeing Justin Fields go.
What, if you don't mind sharing, I don't want you to name names, of course. Is it more the people who are actually playing the games, or more at a front office type of level, just, you know, staff people? Who are you, you're hearing that more from?
I would say people who are playing and people who are coaching.
Interesting. Aditi, then why?
You know, I think one of the big things here, and I've been saying this to you for weeks, I said it to you after that week two game where I was on the sideline against the Broncos, and I said it to you after I said it to you before the week four Colts game and after the Colts game. Justin Fields is doing what is asked of him. He is not getting greedy. He is not going outside the parameters of what is laid out for him just to try to look splashy, just to try to secure the job. He is doing what is being asked of him to secure W's, which we've talked about this, that Mike Tomlin keeps saying, it's not about, I mean, I'm paraphrasing here, this is not his line, but it's not about the numbers, it's about the letters, meaning that all he cares above all else is the W. Well, if Russell Wilson is going to stay within the parameters of the offense and do exactly what is prescribed for him by the coaching staff, then that would be a bit different than what he's been able to do the last however many years of his career. So I'm not saying that's not possible. I'm not saying that he won't. I'm not saying that, I mean, maybe he will bring a completely different splash and dynamism to this offense. Maybe that Jets defensive front will be rendered not as good as it usually is. That was not a very articulate way of saying that. But I don't, you know, I felt like I foretold this to you last week.
Yep.
You could sort of see that this was going to happen. And okay, well, let's see. You put your trust in Mike Tomlin.
How do you think Justin Fields then is handling, hey, man, you did everything we asked of you, but we're still not going to play you?
I mean, how do you expect him to handle it? He's a competitor. He wants the job. He was very honest with us week two that his plan was not to give up the position. But by the same token, he has to be a good teammate. He has to be a good volunteer, to use Mike Tomlin's phrase. He wasn't going to step out of what he was being told to do. So the piece that really troubles me is that, and I've talked about this with you guys too, Arthur Smith was on the record with us week two saying that he felt one of the most important parts of his job was helping to rebuild Justin Fields' confidence, to get him feeling as strong about himself as he once did. And after everything that he went through in Chicago, it's completely understandable that as much as you tell your brain to override certain things, that not that you have doubt in yourself, but maybe your confidence isn't what it was when you were coming out of Ohio State. And Mike Tomlin has talked about Justin Fields playing with confidence. And I know that he's told people that he wished he could see more confidence out of Justin Fields. But I told you this last week, guys, it's really hard for you to say you want the guy to be totally confident when you'd never name him the starter. You'd never say that he was doing something to earn the starting spot. You constantly acted like he was just a placeholder. And now, even though the guy has won you four games, and arguably your team should be sitting at 5-1 if your vaunted defense hadn't kind of screwed things up at the end of the game, even then you're saying, well, hey, you're not good enough. So then how do you expect to build up his confidence? How do you expect him to have the confidence that you say you need to see from him?
Do you feel
like... I mean, does it not go hand in hand, guys? Like, do you understand what I'm saying?
That's what Roethlisberger said. That's why Ben said not to bench him. He said he might screw with his confidence.
I mean, how do you argue with the results? It's so crazy. I texted Pony this yesterday. You know, this weekend I'm on the sideline of the Browns-Bengals game. Oof. You've got the fans of a 1-5 team begging their coach to please make a change at quarterback. And now you've got this 4-2 team where nobody is begging for a change at quarterback, and the head coach is choosing to make a change at quarterback. Although he isn't officially on the record having said that he's doing so.
Yeah, but everybody knows he is. And one of his own players, by the way.
Dan Moore.
Yeah, Dan Moore dimed him out today by answering a question straight away that Russ had taken first-team reps. Aditi, I just cut because I want to cover as much ground as we can with you very quickly here. Your thoughts, because the Steelers still don't have a wide receiver, too. They haven't made a deal. No Adams, no Cooper. Jeremy Fowler, I think, says he thinks they're going to be next in line trying to get one. What would you say about Adam Thielen if the Steelers traded a late-round pick for him, assuming he's healthy?
I love Adam Thielen. Okay. I love him. He is just – he's like Amari Cooper. He is a consummate pro. He's the guy that is not a diva in any way. He's going to do every single thing that he possibly can to help the effort. He's never going to be one of the guys that's yapping or creating a distraction on the sideline in any way. He's not going to put anything untoward on his eye black and then disappear. There?
Like, as an actual player, as a guy who can go out and still get you 5 or 6 catches if need be, how much do you think is left in that
realm? This season? For sure. I mean, are you asking me for 10 years? No.
Do you think he could fill that wide receiver 2 gap capably for them this year?
I told Chris I think he's better than Deontay Johnson.
You're wrong about that.
He made a noise.
Yeah, some people are DMing me saying that.
You know what?
Terrible.
The thing with Deontay Johnson has been about targets. And in fact, it's funny because week 3 we had them. And Dave Canales went out of his way to tell us what a great teammate Deontay Johnson has been, what a great guy he's been. That's what even Thielen was saying the same thing. And Thielen doesn't lie about anything like that. And Canales said it's a matter of targets. In that game, Deontay Johnson got targets. But it's not – I mean, that offense, that team right now is very messy. So they're different guys. Deontay Johnson is a potential game-breaker for you. Adam Thielen is that reliable guy. When you need a first down, he's going to get you a first down. He's going to do everything right. He's going to be the professional in the locker room. He's going to be a grown-up. You know, those are all things that are of value.
Aditi, thank you for joining us, and enjoy the Battle of Ohio on Sunday.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me, guys.
There you go. Aditi Kinkabwala. That music means it's time for a Donnie Football Debrief, and it's brought to you by Steel Mill Saloon in Mount Washington. Donnie finally back to give us a debrief. Go ahead, Don.
The debrief, October 16, 2024. Did you guys want to take this time to discuss the trip?
How much did you win betting football? What was the biggest score? What was the biggest win for you?
Betting and maybe just football?
Yeah, did you have a big football win?
I don't really think the biggest win came there. I mean, I did. I put 100 on the Steelers, which they luckily didn't have to make me sweat over that. Monday night, it was kind of funny. I just put some money, not a lot, on Aaron Rodgers to throw an interception, which got down to very late in the game. But, man, was there a big pop from the stadium swim.
Thank you, future Steeler receiver Mike Williams.
Yes.
For allowing that to happen.
Who, by the way, did not practice today due to personal reasons.
Sure.
The personal reasons being he's about to get cut or traded.
Personal reason being Aaron Rodgers wants to fight him and hates his guts.
I heard he was trying on all of his black and gold clothing, actually. We did the cliche Vegas move, like just rolled into Caesars on the first night there, put 50 on black and hit it. The boys were buzzing a little bit right off the bat. My pal Colton, who I mentioned to you guys last week, I said I have a friend going who is capable of being up or down $1,000 within a very short amount of time. He just tossed a $25 chip on 10 black at the roulette table, very first try. And that little ball fell into 10 black.
I mean, that had to be a huge pop at the roulette wheel.
Oh, yeah. And he was worried going in. It was one of those tables where it actually had triple zeros. I've never seen that before. Like, you know, you have the zero, double zero. This one had
Robert
triple.
Parrish.
Yeah, and he's like, I don't really like playing You know, if it's a triple zero, I don't like playing the table.
And then
he's walking away with $900 in
so
5 minutes.
Would you say Vegas exceeded your expectations or fell short of your expectations overall?
I would say exceeded. I mean, I had a blast. It felt like this probably won't make a lot of sense. I mean, you guys have been there, so maybe it will. Like, it felt like the trip flew by, but we were also there, I think, the max amount of time.
Yes, I was telling Chris that. We were talking about that.
The trip, it felt like it went so fast. Like, from the time between, you know, us getting to the airport on Saturday morning to getting to the airport yesterday morning to come home, that felt like it flew by, but at the same time, it's like, well, 72 hours is probably that sweet spot. Like, there is obviously a million things to do, and I had the, you know, another thought of like, well, you know, there's this, and this, like, didn't even get a chance to go see.
Gotta go back.
Walk into, yeah, I guess that's the whole
Like Elton John, his residency out there. He's making hundreds of millions of dollars.
But
I don't know which resort.
Isn't he in his 70s? Quick question about
yes.
him. How's he going to spend all that?
Maybe he's setting up future generations of Elton Johns. But then again, does he? I don't think he has kids. Right?
I don't think he does either. Like, I'm assuming he's going to give his money to somebody when he dies.
Yeah.
Well, I think he's married. He's got a partner or whatever.
Sure.
Okay, so maybe it's for charitable reasons, but like, come
maybe
on.
Maybe it's for the partner to set him up.
I know, but he's already married to Elton John. I think he's doing fine.
Yeah, I guess he still gets
just
a kick out of
cash.
People paying him that much money. Gets up there, Crocodile Rock. I guess that's why they call
Saturday. Yeah.
Goodbye, Yellow Brick Road.
Yeah, I mean, if somebody came to me while I was there and said, hey, I got tickets for you to see Elton John,
oh,
you bet your
show.
Ass I'm going to go watch some Elton John, guys.
Of course you'd go see it, because you're probably going to have a blast. Of course.
But did
you got to take Sarah back there. Is she a Vegas type? Does she like the Vegas experience or the thought of it if she hasn't been?
So she's never been. I mean,
you got to take
Not really a gambling type, but again, there's so many things to do.
Dude,
like, you don't even
Alex
have to
just
gamble.
Just like walking around drinking like an open container there, or walking through casinos.
Yeah,
while
that's
like
a great feeling.
Games.
Well, Donnie said he saw all kinds of stuff when he was walking around.
I mean, you just see naked people walking around.
Did you see any of the people who are dead still on the sidewalk pretending to be like the Statue of Liberty or whatever?
No, I didn't see any of those.
Oh, yeah. You'll get, like, the people pretending to be Spider-Man.
Did you run into anybody from back home randomly?
Actually, kind of funny. The first day we were there, we get in there Saturday. We go to some place called Beer House, which was, I guess, fitting for the boys to go there.
The Beer House.
After
it sounds like there was no the, just Beer House.
Yeah,
you're at Beer House.
after our my buddy Drew picked all of us up in a 12-person van that he rented for the weekend, which I do think was a smart move. We go there. I go next door to place a bet on the 3:30 college football slate, since it was a big one. And I'm like, you know, just chatting with like a couple of my buddies that walked over. A guy in the kiosk right next to me was like, hey, you work at 93.7, don't you? Like, I listen to the station all the time. I own a construction company in Mount Pleasant.
Oh, that's got to be a big
I need you to come meet my son. He's a senior at Ohio State. Shout out Johnny the Barber. I go over. I meet the guy's family like that right away. Pony, I sent you and Amanda a picture.
Yeah, you ran into one of Amanda's great high school friends.
Yeah, I'm leaving the game, going down on the escalator. Hey, you work with Andrew.
Yep.
Yeah, so I mean, those were obviously like cool to like run into people from here.
Did you end up meeting up with Kevin in Hawaii, or you only heard about the Kevin in Hawaii stories?
No, I only heard the stories from our pal Fred.
And Fred said that the dinner that I missed out on, that I Irish goodbye'd with Gradkowski, that Gradkowski made a big order and then tried to spread the bill equally.
Oh.
Now, I have not texted.
Bad move on Bruce's part,
I have
to
not
be honest.
Texted Bruce on that, but I'm hoping that isn't true. That he made some big individual orders.
Oh,
and
no.
And then tried to say, let's split it four ways.
Like,
the Bruce I know would not do that. The Bruce I know is a very generous, magnanimous human, and would not get the seafood tower for himself and then charge three other people.
I think if you're ordering something that's meant for like a group, you've got to go, hey, like,
you have to confirm, are we okay with splitting this?
With all this, like, yes. We'll obviously split the price, everyone. And if not, and if you really want it, then you got to say,
now,
could you please put this on my bill?
Now, the only, I will give him this out. I think when you get, when you're in Vegas and it's that late and you've had a lot to drink, the decision-making is not the best.
And you say that because your decision-making.
Because I apparently disappeared.
Because you were half blacked out.
Those guys were worried about you, Pony, when I heard that story.
Like, they thought that I had a problem, or they just thought, like, in the moment, they didn't know where I was?
They said Pony said he was just getting up to, like, go to the bathroom. We didn't see him again. I mean, it's Vegas, man. I mean, there's stuff going on everywhere. You don't know what could have happened.
I don't think I've ever seen you in that state.
I didn't even remember being in that state, Chris. I thought I was having a great time. I woke up early the next morning because of the Pacific time zone thing. Woke up at 5 a.m. I was in the gym 15 minutes later, pumping iron. Didn't have my headphones with me, so I was just playing songs like Wang Chung at full blast.
Was anybody else in there?
Yeah, there were like nine other people.
Yeah, that's a gym party foul for sure. That's a very
There
bad
were nine
look.
Other people in the gym and you're playing Wang Chung.
Everybody have fun tonight.
Yep.
Everybody have fun.
I wanted to get as you said, Donnie, I wanted to get the place bussing.
He's like going down into the bottom of a deep squat. Everybody Wang Chung tonight.
Yeah. Anyways.
I'm glad you went, Donnie. I think you need to take the lovely Sarah for a return trip back there.
Donnie, thank you for a debrief. Here is Rick on the fan. Hello, Rick.
Hello, guys. How are you today?
Rick, you ever been to Vegas?
Oh, yeah.
Like a man who's done a few Irish goodbyes in Vegas himself.
Yeah. Is that a bad job by me?
No, it's a funny. It's no. More of a funny job by you.
Okay. Just making sure.
It was probably a very smart job by you.
Yeah, based on the way Gronkowski wanted to split the bill, yeah.
If he was up 15 minutes in the gym and 15 minutes, he must have had, like, you know, Lazarus-like healing powers here.
What do you got for us, Rick?
Well, it's all about the quarterback situation. I mean, sure. I think Tomlin went out on a limb for weeks once they acquired Russell to clarify that he was in the pole position. Mm-hmm. And as much as he was enamored since Justin Fields was at the combine with him, he had to keep him in the number two spot. Now, how many weeks can you hold off a guy like Russell Wilson, who is 100% healthy, before you start to lose face? The other part about it is, I think that based on watching Justin Fields during his tenure at Ohio State and some of it with the Bears, I feel that he doesn't process the offense as fast as Russell does, and I think that we're going to see more of a playbook that Artie Smith has than what they would give to Justin to do.
So I've heard that a lot, that he doesn't process as fast, and the time to throw with Fields traditionally would suggest that that's true, but
the same.
Right, that's what I don't get. There has somehow emerged this narrative that Russ has a much, much better command of the playbook. That usually, like, for example, Flacco right now, he's winning because he's not throwing Flacco bombs. He's getting the ball out very quick.
He did that against the Steelers.
Right, and he's actually worse than Richardson this year on deep balls. I saw a stat, but because he's getting the ball out nice and quick and intermediate, like, he's torching defenses. Okay, Joe Flacco knows the stuff that he's seeing, and he's decisive about it more than Richardson. How has the narrative emerged that Russ has a much better command of the offense when he's never played in it? And when he was in an offense last year that theoretically would be quarterback friendly with Sean Payton, it took him over 3 seconds to throw the ball. Either he actually knows the offense better, Pony, but he still can't pull the trigger, or he doesn't actually have as good of a command as people say. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.